really start ticking up around this time of year.
COVID is still here, and it's still impacting our communities and ourselves today.
The CDC's move has also sparked confusion around whether insurance will cover COVID vaccinations. Protests continue over Jimmy Kimmel Live after ABC decided to preempt the show indefinitely following criticism of the comedian from FCC Chair Brendan Carr, specifically around comments Kimmel made on the show after the killing of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. Ukraine now says three people were killed in Dnipro overnight after a wave of Russian strikes that used more than 600 drones and missiles. This is ABC News. A cyber attack has triggered flight delays and cancellations at several major European airports, including Heathrow in the UK and Brussels Airport in Belgium. Flyers are being advised to check with their airline before arriving at the airport and to prepare for longer wait times. Heavy rain in the southwest has triggered mudslides and flash floods across the region. ABC's Melissa Adan reports.
Oh my gosh.
Homes crushed by the major mud and debris flow.
When I open my kitchen window, I just see the first wave of mud, and it already had trees and mailboxes, a bunch of debris.
Fire officials say 10 people were rescued after at least half a dozen vehicles were stranded on State Route 38. The cars trapped by debris in both directions.
Tomorrow, another burst of rain will bring a low-level threat of flash flooding to parts of the southwest. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. Why throw your hat in the ring to become governor, especially in times like this?
Folks are tired of politicians who focus on cultural and partisan issues versus delivering real resources going to change lives. And that's what we've done in Milwaukee County. And so my calling is being able to be there for people at my best when people are dealing with their worst times. And as elected officials, as community leaders, that's what we should be focused on.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
$14.90 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. The city of Racine has released public records on Microsoft's hyperscale data center in Mount Pleasant. Judith Ruiz Branch of the Wisconsin News Connection has more.
The documents were released following a lawsuit against the city for failing to provide information about water usage estimates for the facility. Environmental nonprofit Milwaukee Riverkeeper filed a request in February seeking information on water use at the Microsoft data center. The city records release showed it will require an estimated 8.4 million gallons of water each year. Michael Greif is with Midwest Environmental Advocates who filed the lawsuit. He says the city failed to respond for more than 200 days and then claimed the information was confidential.
That's 6 months in which the public was deprived of that information, which prevents them from being able to assess the impacts of this project on their community or their pocketbook or on the local environment.
Racine officials say they delayed releasing the information until they determined if it violated contractual agreements. Water for the data center will come from Lake Michigan and will be supplied by the Racine Water Utility under an agreement with the Village of Mount Pleasant. Supporters of the data centers say they create jobs, grow communities, and advance local manufacturing sectors. The lawsuit challenged the common practice of tech companies like Microsoft of requiring non-disclosure agreements with local governments, which can often conflict with freedom of information laws. The Microsoft Center is being built on the former Foxconn site in Mount Pleasant, which was farmland until recently. Greif says similar data centers with facilities exceeding 1,000 acres in size are being proposed across the state, including a $4 billion extension to the Microsoft data center in Mount Pleasant, just announced this week. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Scattered showers today. We'll see highs near 75 degrees. Pockets of heavy rainfall possible. Tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low around 59. Partly sunny, mid-70s for Sunday. Slight chance of an afternoon storm. Monday, scattered storms and 76.
Right now, it's 62.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Eagle, 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content
from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. This is Aaron, Todd's producer. Thanks for tuning in for this weekend's Best of the Todd Albaugh Show. Today, we're going to start off with part of Friday's show where we had Bill McCosian on. Now, in the past, we've had him on to talk about Republican political strategy, but today, we're not going to talk about politics. He's here to talk about his role as a founder and president of the Janesville Jets, a great hockey team that's bringing the community together. Stick around to remember that despite the hectic politics of today, there are a lot of good things happening in our communities, and we should really take the time to appreciate
on
them.
On their way to AmFam Field, Crew now within 4 games, magic number 4 for the Crew to solidify the NL Central. All right, here's the deal. We talk on this show a lot about politics, and our next guest has come on and talked about politics. I appreciate that. Used to be on the same team for a number of years, Republicans. I left the party in 2011. He's still working there. We don't always agree politically, but I talk on this show a lot, and other people have, on, hey, you know what? What we have to do is reach and figure out that our neighbors are not our enemies, that we can disagree politically but still find ways to bring our community together. Well, it was time for Todd to take a look in the mirror and say, well, what am I doing to help that? What's this show doing to help that? And one of the things we can do is what we're going to do right now. And our next guest, I'm so happy to have him here in studio, not talking politics, but Bill McCosian is the president and founder of the great organization, the Janesville Jets. Billy Mack, how are you?
How are you, Todd? Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
Sure,
let's talk. Are they going to get to 100? They got to go 6-3 in their final.
Yes.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Murphy said this on an interview I heard. Maybe it was some other place. I'm not sure, but he said it's not about, he goes, you know how Murphy, I mean, he's like, people are saying because we're so great running on bases. He said, Frelick got picked off. They're not great. He said, it's the people, the guys we have.
Yeah.
It's the who, not the what.
I agree.
Yeah.
And Pat Murphy's the perfect skipper for him. I mean, right. He has found a way to get the maximum performance out of every single guy on their lineup. I mean, sometimes they have guys going to bat that haven't been to bat in a week.
Yeah.
And they get the clutch hit. I mean, that's pretty rare.
And it's so fun to watch. I know you've seen this in hockey. We've both seen it in politics, right? Because I think politics is a lot like sports. You got to have the right team. You got to have the right people, the right chemistry.
Chemistry is huge.
And it's not always the most talented team or has the biggest names and maybe less so today, money. But it's the who you got on there, the attitude, the how you work together.
What I find special about this, there's no question they're going to break the Brewers single season record of 96 wins. Is that they find different ways to do it, right? Some nights it's pitching, some nights it's hitting, some nights it is base running, and some nights it's a little bit of luck, right? But they find a way every single time.
We're about the same age. I was talking to somebody last night. I said, for me, I don't know why, but I haven't felt this way. I haven't followed. I haven't been this invested in the Brewers since 82.
Same.
Really? Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean, I followed some other teams that were decent when CC Sabathia was there, but this team with no salary cap in the Major League Baseball, this would be a national story like none in recent times. Yeah. You know, I've been to two Super Bowls. Fortunately, the Packers won both of them. That was spectacular. The Bucks have won an NBA championship. If the Brewers can find a way to win a World Series, I mean, what a capstone, really.
I mean, that's just, that would be the ultimate fairy tale walk-off, right?
For it's, sure.
It's especially with the passing of the late, great Bob Uecker. It's been a really special season. And again, it's one of those things that, as our friend Trygve Olsen says, when people go to the Brewers, you know, it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
Yeah.
You know, that brings people together.
And you talked about it in the lead-in about, how do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find things you agree on. Find some common ground and then expand on that, right? And then what I said this morning, you listened to me on WTMJ, and I've been on the television and said the same thing on NBC 15 here in Madison, is you got to listen to the other side, right? You might think you know what their position is, but if you really listen, you might find out you weren't right about what you thought their position was. And it doesn't mean you're going to change your mind and agree, but at least you can understand where they're coming from. And you got to start with that foundation. If you can't listen, this is never going to improve.
Totally agree. And I think one of the ways that you listen to people, at least for me, is whether it's a Packer or a Badger or a Brewers game, if you're sitting and having a beverage with someone, that's what I have some of the best conversations with my friends.
Yeah, me
you
too.
You know, you just, because it's an easy thing. I don't know. It's just a different attitude.
Yeah.
I wish we had more of that in the world today. All right, let's get into
some exciting news.
Some exciting news. I want you to talk about. Let's start with. I'm not a big NHL fan just because I grew up in Southwest Wisconsin. We didn't have hockey in high school when I was growing up in the 80s.
Monroe does now,
but Richland Center didn't, although we had floor hockey in Phi Ed, and I always thought I'd be a great defenseman in real hockey.
That's what I was.
Because I like to check. I was small, but I could check guys. I wasn't a great shooter, but I could check. But tell people, I'm a big Badger hockey fan. I used to have season tickets to men's hockey here at Wisconsin. Tell folks a little bit about the league, because I don't think a lot of people across the state understand what the league is, and then the Janesville Jets, and about this big news.
So if you know anything about college sports, in most college sports, freshmen redshirt, and they get bigger, stronger, faster, all of those things. Hockey's the exception to that. Kids after high school and sometimes in high school will go play juniors before they go to college. That's why you see, if you go to a Badger game, a lot of their freshmen are 21 years old because they've played 3 or 4 years of junior hockey first. And there's three levels of junior hockey. There's the USHL, the United States Hockey League, which includes the Madison Capitals and Dubuque Fighting Saints, depending on where you're listening to this, or the Green Bay Gamblers, if you're up in Northeast Wisconsin. Then there's the North American Hockey League. That's where the Janesville Jets are. There's now a team in Brookfield called the Wisconsin Wendigo and one in Chippewa Falls called the Chippewa Steel. I'm the chairman of that league. I'm also the founder of the Janesville Jets and the majority owner. But we have 35 teams in our league from Fairbanks, Alaska, all the way down to Corpus Christi, Texas, and from New Mexico to Maine. So,
wow, I didn't know it was that big.
Yeah, it's literally nationwide. And there are three teams in our division from Alaska. We're going to play Fairbanks tomorrow night. They've actually been a great rival for a long, long time. This will be our 17th season in the North American Hockey League, but our first in the brand new Woodman Center. And I got a chance to, we had a gala grand opening last night. The governor was there today for the official grand opening. And our first game is tomorrow night, which is a sellout. And I got to tell you, Todd, it turned out better than I could have ever expected. I mean, it is 140,000 square feet. There's a main arena where the Jets will play. The Janesville Bluebirds high school team will play. The girls Janesville co-op will play there. And Milton High School will play there. And now Beloit College just assumed the hockey programs from Northland College when Northland closed. So Beloit will have a men's and women's team that also play there. And then the youth will play on the secondary rink, or rink B, hasn't been named yet. Rink A is the Mercy Health Arena. And then there's a convention center, which is spectacular. I mean, for Rock County, this is going to be an absolute game changer. The initial economic analysis we had done showed it would generate about $23 million a year. I think that's low. I think it's going to do much better than that.
By the way, Bill was this one political note. He was the Secretary of Commerce for the state of Wisconsin. So I trust Bill's numbers. I trust Bill. If he says it's low, I'll believe you, Bill.
Yeah, I think it's going to do better than that. The buzz in the arena last night, people were so excited, so proud of this facility. You know, the city of Janesville put up roughly $19 million into it, and the mall is going to get redeveloped. If you've been to any mall lately, you know, right. There are a lot of them are white elephants, and they need a lot of TLC. The owner of the mall was there from Houston last night, and they have big plans to reinvest in that. So that entire square footage is going to get better over the next couple of years.
It's a great investment, not just for youth hockey, for the community, for economic. I mean, it's a catalyst.
There will have 8 basketball arenas in there. Wow. You can convert those to pickleball courts. You can also convert them to volleyball courts. And then they have a turf on rink B, the secondary rink. They have a turf that goes right inside the dasher boards for the hockey rink. So that thing is going to be busy 50 weekends a year, in my opinion, and can't wait to get started tomorrow night.
We're talking with Bill Bokashian live in studio. He is the president and founder of the great organization, the Janesville Jets. As late great Bob Johnson says, it will be a great day for hockey tomorrow down in Janesville. Bill was so kind. He said to me, he texted me, he goes, are you guys going to come down and do a show at the press box? I said, I would love to, but the guy who joins us every Wednesday, Trigvi Olsen, would kill me if I would be the permanent penalty box. And so here now, Bill, because he was after me, joining us live from Washington, D.C., the great hockey legend of River Falls, Trigvi Olsen. Trigvi, how are you?
Billy, how are you?
I'm well. We'll do this on a Friday so you and Todd can come to a Jets game afterwards.
There you go.
I would love that as long as you don't have too many of your superior boys there. Every time that I ever got on ice with them, they're knocking my blocks off.
Well, in 3 years of varsity, I only lost one game to a Wisconsin school.
We couldn't get a puck past PK if our life depended on it.
So. PK is one of my great friends.
I just wanted to call in and say, I was at a hockey camp when I was maybe, I might have been my daughter's age or younger, that Bob Johnson was at. And he talked about giving back to the game.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, and I want to say this to all listeners, regardless of what you think about Bill's politics, no one has given back more in terms of the game in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, I really believe this. You're right up there with Bob Johnson and Mark Johnson and those people.
Thank you.
In terms of advancing the game. You have lived what Bob Johnson understood about the game. And it amazes me. I'm glad I've gotten to go along. There's a lot of things about Facebook I don't like, but getting to go along that ride with you has been just a joy.
Well, my family has lived this with me, and I'm going to tell this story. I'm going to drop the puck tomorrow night, Trigvi, with Clint Woodman. Mm-hmm. They are the naming sponsor of the arena, and then a senior executive from Mercy Health, who is the sponsor of our arena. And I'm going to tell that story. And truthfully, this has been a family ride for us. My two sons played. I got an opportunity to coach them. My daughter was always my little rink buddy, and she would come no matter where we played, she'd come with, and she was the manager for the Edgewood High School team when she was in high school. And, you know, the truth of the matter is our team, the Janesville Jets, would not be in Janesville but for my wife. We knew General Motors was going to close in 2008, but we thought we had a year to get the franchise up and running and establish a fan base. And then in October of 2008, GM announced they were closing at the end of 2008. Mm. So my wife comes downstairs. She sees me reading the Wisconsin State Journal. I live here in Madison, Fitchburg at that time, now Middleton. And she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "They're closing GM at the end of the year. I'm not sure we can do this." And she didn't miss a beat. She said, "That town needs you now more than ever."
Wow.
And that was it. Yeah. That was the thing the match that lit the fuse. And from that point on, we've been, you know, bury our heads and do the work to make it work in Janesville. And the town's been great for us.
To pick up Trigvi on your point, and I don't want to speak for him, but I got to know the late, great State Senator Tim Cullen, who is a very proud Democrat, but from Janesville. And I think one of the things he talked a little bit on this show before he passed, but he and Paul Ryan, former Speaker of the House, were pretty good. They worked out at the same gym. And he brought up your name, Bill, to me before, and he said, "Look, I might not always agree with the guy politically, but," he goes, "hell, you can't take away what he's done for that town." And I know that Senator Cullen really appreciated everything that you did to trigger what you.
He was a convert. He wasn't originally in favor of, the Woodman Center, but then he ended up contributing $5,000 towards it.
Yeah. Well, it takes a leader to do that. And Bill McCashin, you have been one. Bill McCashin, Trigvi Olsen will come back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. How can you get involved? It's sold out for tomorrow. But if you want to go down and see the Jets, we'll tell you how on the other side. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, "American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences," unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Make every day extraordinary with something special from Wisconsin. From artisan cheeses to fresh produce to maple syrup, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection's Something Special from Wisconsin program is proud to work with member businesses that certify their Wisconsin-made and processed products. Look for the red and yellow sticker and visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to find member businesses and products made with care, quality, and love. Sponsored by Wisconsin DATCP.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Jamesville to the Woodman Center and see the Jamesville Jets. They dropped the puck in the new season. Their brand new Woodman Center facility in Jamesville tomorrow night. You can find out all the information at JamesvilleJets.com and also WoodmansCenter.com. WoodmanCenter.com as well. Here in studio, we have the president and founder of the Jamesville Jets, Bill McCashin, and joining us via telephone, our friend and ongoing contributor, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, but for these purposes, hockey aficionado, still on the ice, still getting his teeth knocked out.
He's still
out.
Playing in the old man's league. My wife retired me.
I really appreciate you doing this, Bill. Talk to us before we run out of time. It's important. Tomorrow night, tell people what's going on tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, we have a sellout. More than 1,500 people should be there. But we will be back 2 weeks from then. On Friday, October 3rd, Saturday, October 4th, we play the Anchorage Wolverines. I'll quickly just tell you, there are three teams from Alaska in our division. The way it works is they come down a couple times during the year, and we go up twice. for 10-day trips, and there's a showcase for the North American Hockey League where all 35 teams will be next week in Blaine, Minnesota. So the Alaska teams try and come before and after the showcase, and then before and after Christmas, and then there's a time in February where they come. So that's why we generally play the Alaska teams early in the year. But for our kids, a lot of them, some of them have never been on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Most of them have never been to Alaska. So it's a pretty cool experience for them to go to Kenai River, which is on the peninsula, or Anchorage or Fairbanks.
And brand new uniforms this year as well.
Brand new uniforms. Yeah, I've been designing the uniforms.
Have you really?
Every year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Renaissance man, Bill McCosh.
I have some fun doing that. Yeah. So it's, we try to make them a little bit different, in part because we auction them off. But it's, I have fun doing it. We've modified the colors, and Trigvy will notice the Superior Columbia Blue is now in the jersey. It wasn't in the original jersey.
I did see that.
Trigvy?
I did. No, you know, so talk a little bit, Bill. I mean, I just think, you know, you look across the state of Wisconsin and you got all these things that are dividing people around politics. But one of the things that unites people so much is youth sports, yeah. Right? And tell a little bit about some of the stuff that you've done with youth hockey, both through the Jets and just beyond. I know you've been central with one of the biggest tournaments in the country.
Yeah, the Coleman Cup is actually, it's a Pee Wee All-Star tournament for U11 kids. That's first year Pee Wees, and U12, which is second year Pee Wees. And that's now in its 21st year, and it will be at the Woodman Center next March. That I was one of the founders of that, along with Don Coleman. Waha legend and Hall of Famer. Wow. And there's been some great folks that have helped with that over the years. And it becomes the first exposure for Wisconsin kids from Superior to Beloit, yeah. Right? And from Green Bay to Madison. So it's been a tremendous early identifier. A lot of those kids have gone on. Cole Caulfield would be a kid that played in this tournament. He's now on the first line of the Montreal Canadiens. He was the first round draft pick. And there's a handful of other kids that are in the NHL, the National Hockey League, today that played in the Coleman Cup. That's coming to the Woodman Center in March of 26. The North American Hockey League, again, where I'm the chairman, we're bringing a significant midget tournament to Janesville in October of this year. They've never done an event in the state of Wisconsin before. They wanted to be part. And by the way, Mark Frankenfeld, the commissioner of the league, will be there tomorrow night for the grand opening. So I think some tremendous things are going to happen. And then we have a youth program that Trigvy's mentioning that runs in the spring and summer called the Junior Jets. Yeah. And we'll continue.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, one of the things that I think is so impressive of the role that you've played is that, you know, think about when we were coming up, right? I was in River Falls, so we played Twin Cities teams. You were up in Superior,
played Iron Minnesota Range teams, in Minnesota, right? Yep.
Kids now in eastern Wisconsin, anywhere in Wisconsin, Green Bay, growing up, are getting high-level competition in-state. They don't have to go to Michigan to play.
Right.
They don't have to go to Minnesota to play. You're central to that having happened, along with a small group of other people. And
well, I appreciate that.
It's
and,
amazing.
And that was the whole point, really is you could stay with your local association as long as possible and still develop and play phenomenal competition and get some exposure too, because we pick the best kids at both the 12U and the 11U after the Coleman Cup. And then we send them to another tournament as Team Wisconsin.
I think it's tremendous. And especially you guys haven't played it so much and me just being a fan, but I mean, there's so much influence. I know that Tony Granato, former Badger coach, former NHL player, was on the Lucas and Oath podcast.
He was a Badger when I was here.
Yeah. And I went to those games and he talked about his fight with cancer and the hockey community supporting him.
Oh yeah.
There's a huge hockey community, Bill. We've only got about a minute and a half left, but this is, to Trigvy's point, it's not just about a game. There's a community of support across the state.
It's across the country. And frankly, it's across the world. The hockey community sticks together. When the boys on the bus in Humboldt, Canada, were killed tragically several years ago, it was a junior hockey team. Pretty much the hockey community in North America stood up and helped them out. And those are the kinds of things you see. It's a tight-knit community. It's a fun – it's a lot of time, but it's time well spent with your family. And Trigvy will attest to that. And I can't say – the reason I do what I do is to give back to the game because it's been so good to me over the years. And you know, we've done well with a little bit of luck. So if we can give back, that's what we want to do.
45 seconds left, Bill McCosh. What have I not asked you want people to know?
This is our 17th season in Janesville. this team is pretty special. Head coach Lenny Childs, who, you know, is the first African-American head coach in the North American Hockey League.
Wow. Incredible.
He was a former player of ours. Yeah. And Lenny and I have known each other and been friends. He's been an assistant coach for me in the past, and it was the perfect time to bring him back. And, you know, our team has also played the only female junior hockey player in U.S. history. A young lady by the name of Annalise Bergman, who is the starting goalie for Cornell right now.
Incredible.
Played one game for the Jets. We lost 2-1, mm-hmm. but the place was packed, mostly with females that night.
Yeah. Bill McCoshin, president, founder of the Janesville Jets. You're part of what makes Wisconsin great, my friend. Thanks
for everything. Thank
you very much. Tryggvi Olsen, thanks for phoning in. Appreciate you being here as well.
Yep. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Thank you. Come on back.
Coming up next on the Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show, we are going to listen to Todd's conversation from Tuesday with Pete Schwabe about the passing of legendary actor and director Robert Redford.
Two across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 1490 WLCX.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The CDC advisory panel is no longer outright recommending the COVID-19 vaccine, instead opting to make vaccination a personal choice. Dr. Georges Benjamin is the executive director of the American Public Health Association. He says virus cases generally start ticking up around this time of year.
COVID is still here, and it's still impacting our communities and ourselves today.
The CDC's move has also sparked confusion around whether insurance will cover COVID vaccinations. Protests continue over Jimmy Kimmel Live after ABC decided to preempt the show indefinitely following criticism of the comedian from FCC Chair Brendan Carr, specifically around comments Kimmel made on the show after the killing of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. Ukraine now says three people were killed in Dnipro overnight after a wave of Russian strikes that used more than 600 drones and missiles. This is ABC News.
It's the Crew in the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers square off again tonight against the Cardinals in St. Louis. Milwaukee coming up short last night, 7-1. Manager Pat Murphy on why he pulled first-year starter Jacob Mizorowski out of the game after allowing 2 runs, 5 hits, and 3 walks in 3 2/3 innings.
This is a work in progress. You know, this young man came up and set the world on fire and just got in a groove and... right now, he just needs our support.
The Cubs lost to the Reds, so the Brewers' magic number is now at 3 to clinch the NL Central Division. NFL, the Packers take on the Browns at noon tomorrow in Cleveland. The Packers' Micah Parsons says this will be the first time he's ever faced the Browns' 40-year-old quarterback, Joe Flacco.
Man, really just getting after Flacco. You know, I kind of like the name the Hunter. I haven't had Flacco yet. I need him. I want him. It's time to go get him.
That's Micah Parsons with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 1490 WLCX.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Scattered showers today. We'll see highs near 75 degrees. Pockets of heavy rainfall possible. Tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low around 59. Partly sunny, mid-70s for Sunday. Slight chance of an afternoon storm. Monday, scattered storms and 76.
It's 64 at our studios.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
The Todd Alba Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Tuesday, September 16th. The iconic song, the theme song there from the great movie The Sting. One of those movies that made Robert Redford an icon. His family, his agent announced that Robert Redford passed away this morning at the age of 89. The Academy Award winning actor and director, one of the biggest movie stars to ever grace the screen, and whose startlingly magnetic per charisma in films such as Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid, The Way We Were, and The Sting made him the icon that he was. Barbara Streisand, who starred alongside Redford, the 1973 romantic drama The Way We Were, said the Hollywood legend was, quote, one of the finest actors ever, unquote, in a tribute today on social media. Here to talk about the life, the times of Robert Redford, what he meant to the world of entertainment, to movies, the one, the only, the guy that means a lot to us, to me personally here, our entertainment guy. You can hear him every evening on Nightlight from 6 until 8 with Pete Schwabe, joining us via StreamYard, the one, the only, Pete Schwabe. Pete, how are you?
I'm well. Is that all I get for the opening, though? Is it,
do you want more? You want, we can gin it up a little bit.
I'm well, buddy. How are you? Great to be here.
Well, now that you're here, it's great. I appreciate you doing this on short notice. Obviously, we don't know when these things are going to happen, and I appreciate you being available because, you know, I could sit here and read news stories on it and give my personal reflections, but what I love about this is, for those that I can't imagine who, but might not know your background a little bit, share with people a little bit. You're not just a radio host for us, but you've been in entertainment and film industry a long time. Tell people the lens you're looking at this through.
It's interesting, Todd. Like I've been a writer and I lived in LA for years and sold some movies. And so I see what goes into the process, and it makes me, when a guy like Robert Redford dies at 89, I mean, that's a great run, but it is really the end of an era. And every time one of these Hollywood kind of titans passes away, I think, who's next? Who's going to fill those shoes? Ryan Reynolds? No. Right. Maybe Leo DiCaprio. He was just such an old school guy. His private life was pretty private, a lot like Paul Newman. Mm-hmm. He just made great films. And that's not by accident, because what I just said, like going through the process and you see how, you know, I had one script that got mucked up. Everyone had good intentions, but they did too much. There were like too many cooks in the kitchen. And to do what Redford did and make all those great films like Paul Newman or even a Tom Cruise, that just shows how smart they are and how savvy they are about the material and what they're choosing. He was a legend, you know.
One of the things I learned today in reading the great CBS, the Sunday morning folks, they just do really great, I think, at covering entertainment. Yeah. And they have a couple of great pieces out today. I was reading one of them. You probably already knew this. I didn't until I read it this morning. But, you know, maybe it's most popular in terms of just general people, but maybe not. Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, that the studio did not want to have anything to do with him because he was young and fairly unknown. And in fact, it was Paul Newman, who was, 11 years his senior, who had to go to bat for him. And then Redford repaid that later on.
Yeah, that's a great story. I heard that years ago, and I think it's, it's a testament to his talent. But, you know, I think the studio tends to always give pushback when someone is unproven, and especially if they're willing to spend the money to get someone with a name next to Paul Newman. But yeah, I think at that point he had only done maybe The Way We Were. Mm. And that was kind of a romantic drama. So I could see the studio side, but I love when I hear stories about how someone sticks up for someone and says, this guy's got to be the guy. And that more or less kind of launched him onto the scene and started the, you know, his long career.
And then later, fast forward a number of years, it was Redford that went to bat to the studio and said, no, I want Paul Newman in The Sting because it was almost like, well, maybe he's too old, you know, now, whatever. And it was Redford that got Paul Newman in The Sting later on. So I
did not know that. That's fascinating. And you know what's interesting? The Sting is one of my favorite movies.
Me too.
He played the music, the Scott Joplin music. I've grew up listening to my grandma and my dad play The Entertainer on the piano. It's always been some of my favorite music. And when I saw that movie for the first time, I fell so in love with all elements of movie making, you know, the sets, the acting, the music, the writing. And my one issue with that movie, and it was totally nitpicky, was this handsome blonde guy from the streets of Chicago. I'm like, because Paul Newman, you kind of buy, and Henry Gondorf, right, and all these great characters. But like, I don't know, he looked like, and he was born in Santa Monica. He is a California kid. So that to me, I had to kind of suspend my disbelief at 15, but I did because he's such a good actor, and very quickly you forget and you just lose yourself in his performance, you know.
I know you said Zomers, a couple of clips here, obviously kind of hard over radio. We're going to still play them. First one is from The Way We Were. You want to set this up?
Yeah, this is Barbara Streisand running out. She's got all these groceries, and it's been years since I've seen the film, but this is an iconic scene where she's telling him why they have to hang out together. And he's in uniform, I think just released from the service. And it kind of speaks for itself, but it's just their quirky, flirtatious ways that are so great on the big screen.
Robert Redford and Barbara Streisand in The Way We Were.
Hi, Belle.
Hey. I wasn't sure when you'd be home. How are you? Look, I don't know when I'll be back. Could you leave a key or...
No, you can. I've got steaks and baked potatoes and sour cream and chives and salad and fresh baked pie. I would have made a pot roast. I make a terrific pot roast, but I didn't know whether you ever had pot roast or whether you like pot roast. I mean, anyway, there wasn't time because it should be made the day before. So I got steaks with all my ration stamps. And you must be hungry because, I mean, with all the hotel hunting, you couldn't have had time to eat or anything. I mean, you can't go yet. You've got to stay for supper. That's all there is to it.
What kind of pie?
Barbara Streisand, Robert Redford, Satan from The Way We Were. Redford passed away today at the age of 89. Redford and Streisand, for my money, Pete Schwab, is there a more dynamic couple on the screen?
No, they were great. I mean, I didn't really appreciate that movie or Barefoot in the Park or like until I got older. That wasn't my type of movie. But then I just kind of fell in love with the pairing. I mean, Barbara Streisand is great. Mm-hmm. And Robert Redford is so natural on camera that, they were a great duo. No question.
Other clip that you sent, the film that made Robert Redford was Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid with Paul Newman, one of those earlier films. There's a scene. Set it up for us, Pete Schwab.
This is the two of them pinned in. They're on the side of a mountain, and they think the jig is up, basically, and they're trying to figure out if they're going to fight or flight, and they don't have many options. They're about 100 feet up on a cliff. And it's just Robert Redford and Paul Newman at their best.
Kid, The next time I say let's go someplace like Bolivia, let's go someplace like Bolivia.
Next time. Ready?
No, we'll jump.
Like hell we will.
No, it'll be okay. If the water's deep enough, we don't get squished to death. They'll never follow us.
How do you know?
Would you make a jump like that and you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. They're just gonna have to go back down the same way they come. Come on.
Just one clear shot, that's all I want.
Come on. We got to.
Stop. Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight them.
They'll kill us.
Maybe.
You want to die?
Do you?
All right. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim.
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
Butch Cassidy, the Sundance Kid, Paul Newman, and Robert Redford, who passed away at the age of 89, discussing it with Pete Schwab, a host of Nightlight.
Yeah, that's a great scene. And so Paul Newman, like, mm-hmm. he, to me, he's one of my maybe all-time favorite silver screen idols, so to speak. But a great scene and a great movie. I rewatched that about 4 years ago, maybe. And it's kind of funny, Todd. There's a scene in the middle of the movie, and I can't remember the name of the actress, but they play Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head, and Paul Newman's just riding around on a horse. It's like the only song in the movie. It's go on, but it works. You know, it's
right?
So iconic and cool.
Let's talk a minute about, besides being a great actor, he later became kind of got away more or less from being in front of the camera, although maybe never left it, but focused much more on his directing side of it, won an Oscar, correct me if I'm wrong, on as a director, and then got a lot of philanthropic activity, very environmentalist. He and Jane Fonda, of course, were one of my favorite films was Electric Horseman because it had Willie Nelson in it, and I just like the story of the whole thing with Jane Fonda. They were great on and off the screen for many years. But he started the Sundance Film Festival, which we used to have a Sundance Theater here in Madison. But talk about what he did to help filmmakers who might have never gotten a shot had it not been for Robert Redford.
I mean, the fact that there's probably 15 film festivals just in Wisconsin now in 2025, you can probably thank Robert Redford for. Like, he started the, and it wasn't the first film festival ever, but Sundance became such a destination for movies. And, you know, all these festivals started popping up afterwards. Now it's sort of not even really an independent film festival. It's just a big, you know, they'll screen anything. But yeah, he started that with great intentions, and he started the, like, the Sundance Foundation and all this Sundance Institute. He did win an Oscar, like you said, Todd, for Ordinary People for directing. And he also won an honorary Oscar in 2002 for directing, acting, producing, kind of a lifetime achievement thing, but also for the fact that he started the Sundance Institute. So, yeah, he was an environmentalist his whole life and an activist. Just, you know, it would have been really interesting to see him in a, as a modern day famous actor with social media, because he seems so above that, as did Paul Newman and all these older stars. And now we know everybody's dirty laundry and where they stand on everything. And I think, you know, you and I are the only ones that don't have sex tapes floating around out there. Like, it's just...
I don't either.
Robert's just qualified himself there.
It's not too late, Aaron. But, you know, it's just... I really miss that. And maybe it's not fair to judge him against modern day. I joked about Ryan Reynolds, but, you know, he was philanthropic and he was a business guy, but it wasn't like... He wasn't hawking every product or his gin and his every... He was a true artist.
That's so well said. And I think... Not to get political, but I mean, I think we talked earlier, I had Jim Nantz on a clip. He was on the SI podcast talking about, you know, if we're a sports announcer standpoint, you don't have to have a hot take on everything. Just do your job. And I think that's another lesson from Robert Redford. You don't have to go out there and be in the middle of everything. Do your job and do it well. And that'll be enough.
It's so true. And it's the day-to-day. It's focusing on... Like Tony Goldwyn once said, like, you know, he's a Metro Goldwyn, MGM. He's a Goldwyn, Samuel Goldwyn's grandson. And he said that in his family, it was always about your work. It was always about the resume and the library you compiled and work you could be proud of. And it's, you know, it's just about keeping, if you keep the focus on the work, you don't have to worry about all that other stuff. Now, I know it's competitive right now, like, you know, kind of what Jim Nance said, you have to keep yourself out there, and that's how people do it. So it would be interesting to see if he would have had a different career under those times. But I'm glad he had the career he had.
Can you come back after the break, Pete?
Yeah. All right, I thought it was a sleepover.
Fantastic. Am I wrong? More Pete Schwabba after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Balls Show on the Civic Media.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
My heroes have always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems. Sadly in search of, and one step in back of themselves and their slow-moving dreams.
How about those French horns and flugelhorns in that as well, right?
You've got to love it.
Yeah. Willie Nelson there, the great Willie Nelson. That is a song, my heroes have always been cowboys. One of my favorite songs anyway, but that was in the movie The Electric Horseman, starring Robert Redford and Jane Fonda. Robert Redford passing away today at the age of 89. And here to discuss his life and times, once again, the host of Nightlight every evening from 6 until 8, Pete Schwabba. I don't know why, Pete. Maybe it came along. I was still fairly young, but I remember seeing it. I was just enthralled by it. And I liked the story that here was this rodeo guy who was taking care of his horse. It was more important to steal this stud horse from a rodeo because it was being shot up with hormones or whatever, and releasing it, you know, $1 million horse or whatever, just put out the and Jane Fonda played, for those who don't know, the reporter who is on his case trying to tell the story. And of course, they, you know, things happen and fall in love. At one point, my favorite line from that movie, I think, I can't say it verbatim, but he and Jane Fonda have to sleep out a tent or something like that while they're trying to save this horse. And he gets up in the morning, he's like, oh, and she's like, what's the matter? And he goes, some of my parts of my body wake up sooner than others. And I feel like that today.
You know, it's funny. I was, when I was a kid, I saw that movie. I don't think I really understood it. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, my favorite line from the movie, it wasn't my favorite line, but it kind of made me go, people do that? Like, he was saying how what he had for breakfast every day, and she said what, and he said steak and eggs. I'm like, what? Right. Like, I was used to Fruity Pebble. Who has steak and eggs for breakfast? Like,
cowboys.
So that was kind of interesting. But and that song, and talk about icons, man. When Willie Nelson goes, that's going to be a bleep.
Don't say it. I saw him last year. He was here at Bree Stevens Field, and it was the second or third time I've seen him. And I mean, he's 91, 92 at least.
91, I think.
And as of last summer, I mean, his fingers were still picking, and he still had the pipes.
Yeah, I was at the show too. Basically, it took him a song to warm up, and then he was great.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
Peace. Well, let's get this in so we don't forget. What's coming up on Nightlight tonight from 6 until 8?
Tonight, I'm going to talk about the Dialogues Documentary Festival in Milwaukee. Susan Kearns from Milwaukee Film will join me at 6:35. We'll talk to Susan for a bit. It's a great festival. Milwaukee Film does such an amazing job. It's a great program, a great organization. And then I've got a guy who I've been trying to have on the show for a while. Trapper Shep will be with me, and we're going to play a couple of his songs, and he's going to join me over the stream. And just a great guy. I don't know how familiar you are with his music, but he found a Bob Dylan song that was going on. It was an unfinished song called Wisconsin, and he kind of saw it online and finished it and arranged it and sent it in, and Bob Dylan gave him the go-ahead to release it. So he basically co-wrote a song with Bob Dylan, and it's called, he named it On Wisconsin. But Trapper has a new album out called Osborne, and there's a song on it called Loaded about the pharmaceutical industry. He is great. So I'm very excited to talk to Trapper.
That's fantastic. I can't wait. I'll be listening in, as I often do, as I try to do, from 6 until 8. You can also hear Pete on the Civic Media app from 6 until 8 as well. Home station WGBW Green Bay. You can hear him across the network every evening from 6 until 8. Pete, a couple minutes left here, a minute and a half or so. Just final thoughts on what Robert Redford meant to you as someone who comes from the entertainment world.
I mean, you know what, Todd, honestly, I've been in the business, but I'm mostly a fan too. And I just, I never met him. I don't know him. I just know his work. And I like that. I like knowing what he left behind. Like, people, oftentimes celebrities get criticized. Oh, Frank Sinatra, he had affairs, or people always looking for something to judge people or find something negative. And I just want to say, you know what? Do you know how much joy Frank Sinatra's music has brought to people? Do you know how much joy Robert Redford's career in movies have brought to people? Just be quiet and follow and look at their art and look at the legacy they left. And that's certainly the case with Robert Redford.
I well said. I couldn't agree more with what you just said. I would add, for me, I think it's what you said earlier, Pete, is that obviously I never met him, never knew him, whatever, but just from afar, watching him work and appreciating what he created, and seemingly, and we've seen it in a couple of these stories, going to bat against bigger interests and saying, no, I believe in this and I'm not compromising. And that takes guts. Right. And that takes some balls, I'll say it, and some fortitude, but to say, no, if they don't want to give in, I'm not going to do that. To believe in to truly believe and to put that out there on the screen for the world because you believed in it. That's a lesson for me.
And it's a big, and that sounds easier than it is. And going back to social media, Todd, I hear all these people that, like, they make these statements and, like, you know me, I say it how I feel it and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, that's not hard to do on social media when you're using an avatar.
Yeah.
I mean, when you actually have to do it against big entities, whether it's a movie studio or a $1 billion corporation or whatever, it takes, like you said, it takes, I won't be as risque as you, Todd, but it takes major guts And he had it. He was a great artist and seemingly a really good human being.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And he'll be sorely missed. But the cool thing is, people like this pass, their work still lives. And we can still go back and watch The Sting and Butch Cassidy, The Sundance Kid, and all of his other work. And that's the legacy that we could all learn from. Pete Schwabba, thank you so very much. And I'll encourage everybody to tune in tonight from 6 until 8 with Pete and his trusty sidekick, Conrad.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks for asking me to be on. I love being on your show.
Feeling is mutual. You're welcome anytime. Thanks for taking the time, Pete, on a busy day for you. Really appreciate it.
That's all for this week's Best of the Todd Allbaugh Show. As always, if you want to hear the rest of the week's shows, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And as Todd always says, whatever you believe in, whatever you're fighting for, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you on Monday.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The Centers for Disease Control voted yesterday to revise guidance around the COVID vaccines, now no longer outright recommending the shot, instead suggesting it's a personal choice. More protests in support of suspended late-night host Jimmy Kimmel. Demonstrators yesterday gathered outside the ABC building in New York City, among them State Assembly member Linda Rosenthal.
This is following in the path of Hungary, Russia, Turkey.
This week, the network said Jimmy Kimmel Live is preempted indefinitely. The announcement follows criticism from FCC Chairman Brendan Carr over comments Kimmel made on his show in the wake of the killing of conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. ABC is owned by Disney, the parent company of ABC News. And Ukraine's Air Force says they were able to intercept the majority of the more than 600 missiles that were fired into the country overnight. At least 3 people were killed. This is ABC News.